So we're dedicating this class to the memory of Duba Sheva Bas Yehuda Leib and Chana. And this is Rhoda's sister, who the Shloshim is today, the 30 days after she passed away. So her Neshama Shava Aliyah. Okay, so the parasha this week is Parashas Bamidbar. And this is a new book. It's the fourth book of the Chumash, and it's in the Art Scroll Chumash, 726. Well said. So starting a new book, Bamidbar, and it's oftentimes called by Chazal, by the rabbis, as Chumash Pekudim, as the book of counting, the book of counting, the book of numbers. I just write the numbers. That's what they call it, numbers. I'm surprised because I'm reacting surprisingly because the word Bamidbar does not mean numbers.
Wilderness.
It means in the wilderness. And it begins by describing how Hashem said to Moshe, in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, it goes on to say, count the Bnei Yisrael, count the Jewish people. So that's why it's colloquially called the Book of Numbers, but really it's in the desert, in the wilderness. So nonetheless, though, the first portion of Bamidbar is really all about counting. It's all about numbers. And it stands out so strongly that this is the theme of the first portion of numbers of counting. And as I just read, it says, Hashem said to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai, Su'es Rosh Koladas B'nai Yisrael, which is translated as count the Jewish people according to their families, according to the house of their fathers, by their names, every male, etc., from 20 years old and on. And it goes through, and it goes through the whole list of all of the tribes and tells us the tally of how many individuals there are in those particular tribes. And that's the first part of the portion. And that's on page 729, goes through all of the different shvatim, giving us the tally of each one of them. And at the very end, on page 731, it gives us the final number. And the final number is the famous number, 603,550. That's how many. This is of men between the age of 20 and 60. Now, when I say the word men, it refers to family units. Let's look at it like that. Family units, husband and wife, between 20 and 60, is 603,550. And that's the magic number of the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. That's how we always identify the numbers of the Jewish people as approximately 600,000 souls. 600,000 souls. That is the number which is spoken about and elaborated upon in the Sfarim as the 600,000 souls of the Jewish people. But that's 600,000 soul units of the Jewish people. And we'll get back to that in a second, but that's what it says on page 729, is the tally of the tribes is 603,550. And then it goes on and then describes how the Levim were not counted. They were not part of that count, right? So when we say 600,000, Jews or 600,000 souls of the Jewish people, that does not include the Levim, the Levites. So we'll come back to that as well. But then the parasha then turns its attention to another format of how the Jewish people are counted, based not upon the tribes, but based upon the Degolim. The Degolim are the formations of the tribes around the Mishkan. That was a commandment that when the Jewish people went through the desert, they had to organize themselves with three tribes on one side, three tribes on the other side. So altogether, three tribes on each side, four times three is equal to 12. So 12, and then the Levim in the middle. The tribe of Levites, they surround the Mishkan at the center, but all the other 12 tribes are all surrounding the four sides, four on each side, three tribes per side. So you've got four times three equals 12, plus the Levim makes 13, right? The 13 tribes of Israel. One second.
12 tribes.
12 tribes. So once I'm joking. It's like I'm leading up,
okay.
Right? No, it's like because there are three per side. Four times three equals 12, right? And then the Levim, which are surrounding the Mishkan in the centers, that makes 13. So we have 12 tribes. The answer is the tribe of Yosef is divided into two tribes. Ephraim and Manasseh. So really, when we speak about the 12 tribes of Israel, we're talking about the 12 tribes where Yosef is counted as one tribe, and he's subdivided into two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. So in this format over here, you see really 13 tribes altogether, the Levim in the center, and then the other tribes around, the other 12 tribes going around, including Ephraim and Manasseh. But then in this description, again, the numbers are counted up. There's a tally again. And it says, in fact, it repeats again the number of 603,550. On page 737, the total is again is given. It says that this is the total of 603,500. This was now based upon the count, based upon the Degolim, the formations around the Mishkan, but it's still the same number. And again, the Pasuk says that the Levim were not counted. They were not part of this count because this is the count of those tribes around the Mishkan. And then it goes on, the rest of the portion talks about the Levium in general, the role of the Levium, the special role that they had. It talks about their lineage and their role that they have as being the Shomrim, the kind of honor gods, honor gods of the Mishkan, honor gods of the tabernacle, honor gods of the temple when the temple's built. They also sing in the base of Mikdash as well. That's their role. But another role they have also is redemption of the firstborn. So this is a whole topic to itself, but the firstborn, when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, really the designation of Kohanim, the designation of serving in the base of Mikdash was supposed to be given to the firstborns of every tribe. And of course, with the sin of the golden calf, that honor, that privilege was taken away from the firstborns of every tribe and transferred to the tribe of Levi. And the reason is because the tribe of Levi were not involved in the sin of the golden calf. But nonetheless, there was a certain kedusha, a certain sanctity, which still rested upon the firstborns of the other tribes, which still remains today. And hence, we have the mitzvah, Pidyon HaBen, redemption of the firstborn. And the redemption of the firstborn, that kedusha is, so to speak, transferred, taken off the firstborn and transferred back to the Levium, or to the Levium, and that's the mitzvah of redemption of the firstborn, which the Levium serve in that role. And it goes on talking about that and the number of Levium. So it does give a tally of the Levium over here, the end of the portion. It goes through the tally of the Levium and the special responsibilities of the different families of the Levium, their role in carrying the Mishkan and through the desert, and all the different component parts of the Avoda of the Levium in the base in the Mishkan in the desert. So that's the overview of the portion. So obviously, numbers is a big theme of the portion. We've got two tallies of the Jewish people in the context of the Shvatim of the tribes individually, and then in the context of the formations of the tribes around the center, the Mishkan around the center, and then the count of the Levium, that's counted separately. And there's also count the number, the firstborns are counted as well. So this is clearly the portion of numbers, the portion of numbers. I mean, again, the rest of the book of Bamidbar is not about numbers. It goes on to many different topics. I guess they called whoever gave the secular names to the book based it upon this first portion. But the question is what's the message? What's the idea? What is the purpose? Like, it's an unusual thing. Perhaps we're used to it because we've learned this portion so many times. But when you look at it, out of context, and you just think about, it's the first time you're encountering, maybe there's people in the class today where the first time they're encountering this. It's an unusual thing that the Torah should go to such length and such detail about counting how many Jews there are. And especially, I pointed out that the tally of 603,550 is mentioned twice. It's mentioned twice. So really, I mean, all you need to be told is how many there are in every tribe, right, at the beginning of the portion. Then say that the tribes are now spread out in the formation of three per side and be told which ones are on each side. And you can just make the calculation yourself. How many there are. You add the numbers up, So why the tribe have to go back through the numbers again and then to give the tally again? It really stands out very strongly. What is the significance? What's the purpose of all of this counting? What is the purpose? What's the message in general? So there's several commentaries. I mean, it's not just probably several, many, many, many commentaries. But one I want to read to you, a few I'll read to you. So one of them is Rashi. Rashi says, the very beginning, the very first comment of Rashi is, Mitochi basov lefona, because of their preciousness, because of the preciousness of the Jewish people before Hashem, Mona Oson Kol Shah. He's constantly counting them. He wants to count them all the time because the Jewish people are so precious before Hashem. The Jewish people are so precious before Hashem, and hence he counts them all the time. Because Shiyatz Mitzrayim, when they came out of Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt, Monon, he counted them. And that's so this is not the first time the tally is being counted. When they came out of Mitzrayim, they were counted. For Kishanoflu Bagel, when they stumbled with the sin of the golden calf, they were counted. Monon, Leda, Hanusan, he counted them again to see how many were remaining. For Kishabah, Lahashwas, Shechinoso, Aleim, and now when he comes to bring his divine presence upon them, he's counting them again. So the concept is that Hashem loves us so deeply and he counts us just like we count our money. We count our money. Well, you know, some people count their money because they love their money so much. What you like, what you hold precious, what's precious and dear to you, you count. So therefore, it's a beautiful message that he loves us and he wants to count us. He counts every single one of us individually because he loves each and every one of us individually. We're counted because of the love. That's what Rashi says. The Sephorno says a similar thing. The Sephorno says, Ki hoya oz kol echad moisa hador, nechsha b'shmo. Everyone at that time, the names of the individuals, everyone was counted, that each one was, their individuals reflected their specific individuality. Hamora al tsurasa ishias lemailosim, in recognition of their individual virtues. This is the purpose of this, to bring out the uniqueness, the specialness of every single one. That's what the Sephorno says. And then the Ramban, he quotes a medrash. The Ramban says, he says, the mispashem is legulgalosam, by numbers. Amala Kadosh Baruch Hashem said, Libnosam bekovet. He said, count them with covet, count them with honor, count them with gedula, count them with an attribution of greatness. Lekolachod viachod, every single one of them, count them special. So it's not just a quick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's not the kind of count which was being done. It was a count with deliberation, with specialness, with covet, with honor, with gedula, with greatness, ascribing greatness to each one of them. Losia Omer Larosha Mishpacha, Hashem said. Hashem didn't say to Moshe, go and speak to the head of the family and ask them, Kama b'mishpachtoch, how many are there in your family? He didn't say to the head of every family, how many are in there, how many children do you have? Alakulan Yohanofrin Lefonecha. It's amazing. I mean, it's miraculous. Everyone passed before him. Hashem said to Moshe, everyone should pass before you. Be'ema. Uber covered with trepidation, with honor. Vatamono someone, you should count them. This is what the meaning of the pasuk is. But mispashabas, ben esrishon of malal glusam, count everyone individually. So you get a picture of the specialness that every single Jew was held with before Hashem. And Hashem tells Moshe, count every single one individually because of their specialness.
Except the infants.
So that's the purpose. That's the idea of the count. The truth is this is also bored out. Very, very simple, very simple and a very beautiful idea. Look at the word for counting. It's pasuk, the second pasuk. Pasuk in English, it says, take a census. Mm-hmm. Right? Take a census. But the Hebrew doesn't say that. It says, su'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Right? Su'u, what does su'u mean? Lift up. Lift up every single person. Lift him up in counting him. In counting the every single individual, lift him up, make him feel good, make him feel chashuv. That's the purpose of the counting, to make every single person of the Jewish people feel special and important. And I have to read to you, I printed this out this week. You know, many of you are familiar with Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory, former chief rabbi of England. You know, I have a little bit of an affinity towards that. You know, so I got to, you know, he was so eloquent. I mean, it's unbelievable. I just want to read to you a few lines of what he says. He says, counting, on the one hand, counting, if you don't count in the right way, and you just count numbers as just numbers, as the grains of sand. He says counting devalues the individual when it's not done in this proper way, in the way we just described. Counting devalues the individual and tends to make him or her replaceable. If one soldier dies in battle, another will take their place. If one person leaves the organization, someone else can be hired to do their job. See, people in a crowd become anonymous. Their conscience is silenced. They lose a sense of personal responsibility. An independent judgment and follow what others are doing. We call this herd behavior, and it sometimes leads to collective madness. This is a counting which has no value, where everyone is just a number, like it's just a dot. The tulip, you know, the crowd behavior, the tulip mania in Holland when the entire fortunes were spent on single tulip bulbs. I forget that story, but you know, you're probably familiar with it. Crowds are peculiarly prone to regressive behavior, primitive reactions, and instinctual behavior. They are easily led by figures who are demagogues playing on people's fears and their sense of victimhood. Such leaders, there's an author, Le Bon, he quotes a book over here, The Crowd. He says, are especially recruited from the ranks of those morbidly nervous, excitable, half-deranged persons who are bordering upon madness, a remarkable anticipation of Hitler. Right? That's when counting is done in a way where it has no value, where the people are just numbers, they're just dots in a crowd, they're pieces of sand in a big mess. There's no individuality. But this is what the Torah says. In that word su'u, right? In the word su'u contains everything. That the counting that Hashem does when he counts us, he looks at us with chashivas, with value, with specialness, with love. As Rashi says, out of his love for us, he counts us, he looks, he holds us, he cherishes us in his hands, and he looks at us, you're so chashiv, you're so special. That's what Jewish counting is. That's what Jewish counting is. It's interesting, it just occurred to me right now, I don't know if this is true, but it, you know, we know there's a halacha that you shouldn't count Jews, you shouldn't count, you shouldn't count 1, 2, 3, 4, you're not supposed to do that. I think that's really in keep with this concept, because when you count 1, 2, 3, you're really diminishing the chashivas, the diminishing the importance of every single person. The proper way to count, if you are going to count some, you want to count for a minion, you say there's a pasuk, Hoshiya Samecha, there's another, also I say the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz, which contains 10 words, 10 words in that bracha. So, you know, if you, and you can do that, you're allowed to count based upon that bracha or the pasuk, which is the another, which also has 10 words. But you think about it, what's the message of that? The idea is that a bracha, every word of that bracha is unique. Every word of that bracha is special and it has tremendous depth and profundity to it. So you're baruch, you're an atta, you're a Hashem, you're an Elokeinu. So when you count with applying the bracha, so you really bring out the chashivas and the uniqueness of every single, that's not a violation of this idea of counting where you're just counting pieces of sand and there's not, and the mere numbers. That's not what we are. We're not just mere numbers. Every one of us is a unique individual, a unique human being, a unique soul. And that's the idea. That's the concept of su'u es rosh b'nei Yisrael, our counting is we are being lifted up. That's the purpose of the countings. That's one idea. So that's why it's repeated. The numbers are being repeated over and over again. Counting. Everyone is so special. We're all so special. I mean, the truth is this is such a message which we have to, I mean, a message which is so necessary in our generation, especially with raising children, to make the person feel chashuv, to make a person feel important, make a person feel special in raising children, in education. You know, when you feel special, we're in a generation of a battered self-esteem. People's self-esteems are so battered. There's low self-esteem and low self-worth. So it's a message which is very, very relevant today of lifting people up. So U.S. Rosh, call others b'nei Yisrael, lift everyone up. Count them and lift them up by counting them, or count them by lifting them. That's one idea. That's one idea of the portion. But you can't escape the idea also in the portion that the portion describes these collective masses as well. It still says 603,550. Still talks about the Shvatim as a whole, as the tribes as a whole. Talks about the formations of the tribes around the Mishkan, around this, going around. So you've got groups as well as individuals. Individuals and groups. So the first message is everyone's an individual. But yet, there's a group. We're still a group. We're part of Klal Yisrael. We have Klal Yisrael. There's a whole entity. You can't be an individual. He speaks in this article about individuality versus individualism. Individuality is bringing out your uniqueness as part of the group, as part of the cloud, part of the community. Individualism is where you're just completely by yourself, living by yourself and not dependent upon anybody else. So obviously, Klal Yisrael, use that expression, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, these are collective words which are made up of the individual parts. I was thinking last night, you know, because many of you may know that we made a wedding last night, right? So I was thinking, like, you know, what's the, is there a connection? And I was actually thinking about this, that when you think about what a wedding is, you know, it's a very beautiful idea. I haven't thought of this before, but you, when the chassid and kala are standing at the chuppah, what's really happening is the merging of individuality into a whole. That's what's happening. So there's a very powerful message in marriage. The smallest example of the merging together of individuality with the collective whole. The smallest example of that is the unit of a husband and wife. That's individuality, because a couple, it's not about, you know, the individuality becoming lost in that relationship with one spouse. It's bringing those the kochos, the energies, the powers, the potentials, and the abilities of each one uniquely to bring it into the collective whole of the marriage together. That's the two individuals coming together, coalescing as one whole. But also another example of it at a wedding as well is, if you think about it, the dancing around in the circle, and then people in the middle dancing. It's an unusual form of dancing. You don't see, I'm going to a dance tonight. Well, we all know what going to a dance looks like. It's the secular dancing, like discos and things like that. Jewish dancing is this circle and then individuals in the middle. And the circling around, you know, as it goes around in a circle, you get this feel, this sense of emerging together. So the circle of the people going around, they're all merging together as one, but then there's individuality in the center. It's a beautiful picture of what life is about, what Jewish life is about, of identifying your individuality, but also merging yourself and making yourself part of the klal. And in the Sefer, the Siva Shalom by the Slonim Rebbe, he says, he quotes some beautiful ideas with regard to this. So we know, I mentioned 603,550, that's the number of the Jewish people. So that number comes up also in the number of letters in the Sefer Torah. There's a tradition that there are 603,550 letters in the Sefer Torah. So there's a correspondence between the Torah and the Jewish people, the Jewish people, the individual souls. But also the Yud Kei Vav Kei name of Hashem, the Yud Hei and Vav Hei. So the Arizal says that the four letters of the Yud Kei Vav Kei represent the four degolim, the four formations of the Jewish people around the Mishkan. That's number one, that's the four letters. Number two, there are 12 permutations of those four letters. If you do the math, you can figure it out. You can take those four letters, Yud, Hey, and Vav, Hey, and you can rearrange them and permutate those four letters, and there are 12 permutations altogether. Aha, the 12 tribes of Israel. And then furthermore, this is much more complicated, but there are other permutations which you can also find in the four-letter name through taking the gematrias, the numerical value of the letters, And also the Khalifas Aleph. There are Kabbalistic ways to take letters and to restructure letters to generate other ideas as well. Bottom line is, the Arizal says there are 603,550 permutations in the Yud Kei Vav Kei name itself. It's an amazing thing. There's 60 myriad of permutations by taking this more advanced Kabbalistic approach, gematrias, etc., and the Yud Kei Vav Kei name. Well, think about that for a second. Each one of us, number one, we're all 603,550. We are the, you know, I just want to clarify. There's more than 603,550 Jews. And there were more than 603,550 Jews in the desert. But as I said, that symbolized the 603,550 family units. But also we say that all of the Jewish people, all of us, we all comprise the 603,550 soul units. So this is beyond my pay grade in this explaining this, but the Jewish people are described as much as there are 15 million Jews here, right, in the world, but nonetheless, it boils down to about 600,000 soul units. So the Jewish people, he even writes, he says, is beyond our understanding, be able to figure this, understand this, and identify it. But the principle is that the Jewish people as a whole are made up of 600,000 soul units. We're all, wherever we are in the world, whatever generation we're living in, we're made up of about 600,000 soul units. So it could be, you know, people share the same soul. There's an idea. There's a sharing of souls. Again, it's beyond our understanding, but that's the concept. But the idea is that all of the souls of the Jewish people are all rooted in the Torah. They're all rooted in the Torah. There's a correspondence between the letters of the Torah and the soul roots of the Jewish people. But now that we're saying that Yud Kei Vav Kei, that Hashem's name, also contains all of the Jewish people. It contains the four formations and the 12 tribes, the permeation of 12, and then also this advanced gematria, nations of 600,000, all in the Yud Kei Vav Kei name. Think about that for a second. We're all in the Torah. We're all in Hashem's name. My individuality is in the Torah. My individuality, because we're not departing from the individuality of who we are. We're all individuals. That's the first message. We're all chashu, we're all special. But that individuality merges together with the collective. It merges together with everybody else. And it merges together with the Torah. And it merges together with the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, the Hashem's name. So we have this individuality together with a group, together with a larger identity, to merge that individuality and to find my individuality in that larger identity. So the Pasuk says, count the Jewish people. But specifically it says, lift up the Jewish people. Lift up. Counting is by lifting them up. But there's another word in the Pasuk. Su as Rosh B'nai Yisrael. Lift up the head of the Jewish people. Why the head? Why the head? Why not just lift up? Could have just said, Su'u es kol ad es b'Yisrael. Count all of the Jewish people. And we can define counting as lifting up. Lifting them, lift them up. Make them feel special. Why specifically the head? The answer is, where is the individuality? Where is our individuality? Where does our individuality lie? It doesn't lie in our arms. I mean, we all have different arms. We all have different, different legs. We all have different faces as well. Our faces are different. But where really is the individuality of the person? It's in the mind. The mind is where the individuality lies. Individuality of the person is in the mind. You think differently. I think differently. We understand things differently. There's a fascinating halacha. There's a very, very interesting halacha. That if let's say you go to a pharmacist and doctor prescribes a certain medication and he gives you the medicine and then you take it on credit and you really need it, and the pharmacist says, how much is it? So he says, oh, this medicine over here, $1,000. $1,000? He says, yes. At CVS, it's only like $25. He says, that's what I charge over here, $1,000. Well, can I take it anyways? Yeah, you pay me, as long as you pay me. He's like, I'll pay you later on. So you take the medication, you go home. The halacha is you're not obligated to pay him for the medicine. You're not obligated to pay him. Because he's so severely overcharging this medication, the market value of the medicine is $25. He charges $1,000. You're not obligated to pay him because he's just overpricing it completely. So without going into the halachas deeply about that, but that's the din. That's the halacha. You're not obligated. However, let's say you go to the doctor, and he offers his services to you, and you ask him how much it's going to cost. So he says, well, I charge $10,000 an hour. Right? $10,000 an hour. He says, that's what I said. Well, I'll do it. He said, can I have an hour appointment? He said, fine. As long as you pay me, I'll pay. You have to pay him. In that situation, you have to pay him. Even if he's charging you so much more than other doctors, you're obligated to pay him. And the reason is because the doctor's skills are completely, utterly unique to him. His chokhmah, wisdom, understanding of life, understanding of a situation is an expression of the complete individuality of the person. And one person's chokhmah is completely different to another person's chokhmah. When I say the word chokhmah, I'm talking about the way we look at the world, the way we look at things, the way we understand things, the way we formulate things, the way we put things together, the way that I extrapolate. That's unique to you. It's all unique to you. Your chokhmah, your understanding, your way of looking at the world is your uniqueness. And therefore, you can't put a price. You can't say there's a market value, there's a market price on a person's wisdom. Because there's no other mind like your mind. when it comes to a particular skill or if it comes to a particular medicine, so there's a market value because there's lots of them on the market. So therefore, you can put a price on it. Therefore, you're obligated to pay what the market value is. When it comes to a human being's understanding, I can't claim that your understanding has a sudden value. You know, you can choose your price, and I'm obligated to pay that price. I can't say to you, well, listen, you know, so and so charges a fraction of that. Well, that's so and so. That he has a different understanding of things. Like he analyzes things differently. He has a different appreciation of things. His mind is, and it's true. His individuality, the individuality is in the mind. The individual is how you think. So when it says in the Torah, lift up the head of the Jewish people and make them feel special and count them and give them their chashivas. Their specialness and their elevation, their specialness is in how they understand things. Is their unique? It's almost personality as well. The personality, the way you look at life, the way you understand, the way you interact with people. That's your uniqueness, and that's the specialness. It's not just the external motor skills of a person, but it's the essence of the person, the soul essentially. The mind is the soul. The soul of the person is their specialness. So again, we go back to the idea, if this individuality, my individuality is completely, you know, it's my individuality, it's my specialness, and it's what Hashem loves, but my individuality has to be together with Hashem's name. It's all in Hashem's name. It's all in the Torah, because where's the best place to find your individuality? Where's the best place to find your individuality? In sports? That's where you got to find your individuality, because you know the best sports teams. I want to find my individual in Hashem's world. I want to find my individuality, my understanding of the Torah. I want to find my individuality in mitzvahs. I want to find my individuality in spiritual, holy endeavors, sacred activities. That's where I want to discover my individuality. And the individuality of the person is found, the Su'es Rosh Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael. The individuality of that person's mind, of our minds, of our personalities, of our spirit, of our neshamas, are all rooted in the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name. They're all rooted in the Torah. That's the numbers are all inside the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name. Those numbers, 603,500, are in the Torah. My individuality is in this, in these books over here. You know, this popped into my head. I remember so clearly, I was in the Beis Medrash. This goes back probably 40 years ago. I still remember exactly where I was standing. I was talking to one of my rabbis. I was standing in the Beis Medrash, and we were talking about, about what I was going to do with my life eventually. I don't know. But I remember him saying to me, he says, when a person learns Torah, when a person devotes himself to the learning of Torah, then you discover yourself. Right? I remember those words so clearly. When you devote, when you dedicate yourself to the learning of Torah, you discover yourself. You discover all of your potentials. You discover all of your inner latent potentials, your individuality. You discover your individuality within the Torah, within Hashem. That's where we find our individuality. And that makes a lot of sense because the neshama, the holy neshama inside of us, is a spark of Hashem. And the Torah itself is the expression of Hashem, is the words of Hashem. So my individuality is found within the Torah, within the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name. That's where it's found. And that's where we have to devote ourselves to. So it's not by accident, obviously, that Bamidbar, this portion, is right before Shavuos. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next week because there's no class next Friday because it's Shavuos. Mm-hmm. So this is really a message for Shavuos as well because we're approaching Shavuos. And it's a time to think about, who am I? What am I? What am I about? And is my individuality that Hashem loves so much, is it rooted in the Torah or is it rooted in the street? Where is it rooted? Where is it standing? Where is my individuality? Am I looking for a connection to Torah? Am I looking for a connection to Hashem? Is that where my individuality is? Or is it in some kind of, you know, thing like whatever, a temporal thing which comes and passes by and disappears as we live our life and disappear from the planet when we pass away? Or am I going to root myself in Hashem, in the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, in the Torah? The portion is also called Bamidbar. Right, and it's not called numbers. There are numbers in it, but what's the true definition, the true translation of it? in the wilderness. So in the wilderness, so this is also a whole topic which the Mephoshim speak about. But just to quote one by the Balatorium, he says, Le'el minei ksiv eile mitzvahs. Right before this, if you look at the, you have the Chumash, it says in the very, you know, outstanding, beautiful idea, the very last verse of the last book, the very last verse of the last book of the book of Shemos, in the last portion, the Chukosai, it says, Eile ha-mitzvahs ha-shatziva Hashem as Moshe al-Bnei Yisrael bar-Sinai. These are the commandments that Hashem commanded Moshe, Hashem commanded for Moshe to tell the Bnei Yisrael at Mount Sinai. These are the commandments that Hashem commanded at Mount Sinai. That's the last pasuk of the previous portion. And then it says, count the Jewish people, Bamidbar, in the desert. The juxtaposition of in the wilderness to the mitzvahs. So the Balaturim says, it says earlier, Eila mitzvahs, and then right next to it, Bamidbar, Loma, to teach you, im ein odem mesem atzum kamidbar. If a person does not make himself like a desert, like a wilderness, ein yochel leida Torah mitzvahs, he's not able to understand the Torah mitzvahs. Mm. Basically, a message, be humble. Make yourself like a wilderness. Make yourself like a wilderness. Now, this is not a contradiction to what we said before, because you need to have both. We need to have the individual. We need to appreciate our individuality and our chashivas, but not let it go to our heads in the wrong way, and to become arrogant and prideful and egocentric, but to balance that with a sense of humility as well, of humility, and that's the prerequisite to being able to learn Torah, to be able to embrace the Torah, to have a sense of humility. So we have in the portion really a very beautiful, you know, very inspiring message of approaching Mount Sinai, approaching Shavuos, the Yantiv of Shavuos. We've got the message of humility, and that's Mount Sinai was the lowest of the, it's actually an interesting thing. Mount Sinai was the smallest of the mountains, teach us this idea of humility. But then the question is asked, so that why wasn't the Torah given in the desert on a flat plane? The answer is you need to have, because you still need to have a sense of a sense of pride, of knowing yourself, of knowing what your specialness is and what your individuality is. It's all about balance. It's not about one or the other. It's about balance. It's about having humility together with a pride of your individuality in the context of serving Hashem, in the context of the mitzvahs, in the context of the Torah, and in the context of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name. So that's some thoughts about the parasha. And to go into Shavuos with, so may we all be zocha to find our individuality with Hashem, in Hashem, in Hashem's world, not the world out there, in Hashem's world, in the Torah, and to find that individuality, be part of the cloud, part of the Jewish people, with my individuality, but yet also balance that with a sense of humility to be able to receive the Torah properly.